Hey everybody, welcome to Hard Reboot. I'm Matt.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Alan.
And this week we are doing Frankenstein.
My boy. My giant son made of other people. My multiple son.
I mean, normally this is about the time where Alan or I will explain this story, but I want Jake to do it since he's all like on board for this.
So Frankenstein is my favorite of like the Universal monsters. I mean, Bride of Frankenstein is my favorite, but you need to have a Frankenstein to have a Bride of Frankenstein. Fair. So I love Frankie. So, okay, here's, I don't actually know what the original story is entirely. I'm just going to recount it as best I can.
Good.
Dr. Victor von Frankenstein. I don't know if it's a von Frankenstein. That just felt right. He had a bunch of people parts laying around, said, you know what I can do? Put them together, make one big man. And then he did that with lightning and a table and probably some Tesla coils, I imagine. And then that monster, who I will call Frankenstein because it's also his Christian last name, is Frankenstein. Nobody at me saying the doctor was Frankenstein. So then he is actually nice and sweet because he's just made of a bunch of people parts. But everyone thinks he's a freak because, again, he's made of a bunch of people parts. How close was I?
You were really close. There's no Vaughn in Victor Frankenstein. It is just Victor Frankenstein. It was originally published.
Frankenstein.
It was originally published on the 1st of January, 1818.
Oh, yeah. My favorite part about the Frankenstein story is that it invented science fiction, and Mary Shelley did it basically to shut some dudes up who kept actuallying her about books.
Pretty much. So,
it's the greatest.
So the other fun thing is that, you know, in almost every movie version, like, the monster is kind of an idiot.
Yeah, well, he's very simple. His brain is mashed potatoes.
I would say simple, not an idiot.
I was being colloquial. but in the book, this dude is like a genius who just absorbs everything.
The only version I've seen that in, like that actually happen in, is, have you guys read the comic book Unwritten?
No.
Mm-mm. It's by Mike Carey, and I cannot remember the artist. Was it Mike Gross? I think it might have been. But it basically is, oh God, it's been so long since I've read it. How can I explain it that makes any sense and makes it sound good and people will want to go check it out? So basically there's this kid whose dad was wrote a series of books that were essentially Harry Potter, but instead of like Voldemort, it was like a vampire. And it was like super famous, super huge. And the character of those books is based on the main character, like his son. And then it turns out, and I'm not 100% sure if I'm remembering this correctly, that like that's real. And like book characters are in a, like, there is a world where stories come from, and then like he can access that, and there's like a whole thing there. But at some point Frankenstein does come out and is like this super cool dude who's like very smart and also a very big man.
He's definitely described as a very large individual in the original novel and everything. And the whole thing is like, besides just being the question of who's the real monster, and it's a lot of stuff about like purpose and why you're alive and maybe don't play God, which no one ever listens to.
Not in books anyway.
I think my favorite part of the Frankenstein narrative, or Frankenstein, are we going to be making a lot of young Frankenstein jokes? I feel like we are.
I did my one. I'm done.
Okay. The thing I really like about it is that in the original novel, the creature, I think I'm just going to try to refer to the Frankenstein monster as the creature, but the creature realizes that he's hideous and that he doesn't fit and he is an abomination, but he still tries anyway, until the point where he kind of threatens to murder everyone Victor ever loved.
As you do.
But it is a tale of kind of acceptance. I think it brings into an interesting light you know, what happens when people reach out for love and are denied. And I'm not talking about like romantic love, but even just like
belonging.
Yeah, belonging. And when you reject them and say no, the aftermath. So I really think it's an interesting point to make that, you know, what happens to the outsider when you befriend them versus when you ostracize them.
Yeah. Also, he's made of a bunch of people.
Yes, he is made of a bunch of people.
Which I cannot overstate how much I love that.
And I loved the Munsters as a kid, and Mr. Munster is the Frankenstein man.
I didn't love the Munsters. I enjoyed it, but I didn't love it.
I liked the wife the best, I think. She was like a vampire lady, wasn't she?
I remember nothing
about it except they had a werewolf son.
Yeah, I remember werewolf son and Grandpa Dracula, and I don't remember anything else other than also, you know, Dad Herman
that was his name.
A Frankenstein.
Yeah. I feel like the wife was a Bride of Frankenstein.
I'm going to look it up.
I think she was just like a sexy lady. I don't exactly remember. Anyway, Matt.
So Matt, what are we doing with
where are we playing today?
Well, what I told y'all last month was that we're going to do this as a kid's adventure, which we're still doing. And I also promised a medium that we haven't done yet. And I'm very excited about this one, because this is going to be an interesting constraint.
Are we finally doing cave etchings?
No. Gosh, I feel like we should save that one for a time machine, because that's just funny.
Truth.
So the medium we're doing is an animated internet cartoon.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to do some Homestar Runner Frankenstein.
Maybe closer to like a Rooster Teeth animated thing that's like 9 or 10 minutes long and less like a 2 minute Homestar thing.
Okay. What are we talking about in terms of budget? Are we talking about like
Infinity? It's fake.
Yeah.
Well, no. Like back when Rooster Teeth was first doing Red versus Blue and it was just kind of put together, or are we talking more like with Ruby?
Let's assume that there's a good budget behind this.
Okay.
Got that Netflix money.
I liked the charmingness of Red versus Blue. I thought it was a lot of fun and kind of charming.
The downside to that is we'd have to have a Frankenstein Kids Adventure video game to machinimate, and that's a different hard reboot episode.
Yeah, we didn't do that one first. Also, you have to, in order for them to be able to do that, because you couldn't turn your HUD off until like a weird patch update for 2, they had to do this weird glitch where they died, and when they came back they didn't have a HUD, so someone could be the camera.
Yep.
Which is there's super so many cool. good tricks. Like, okay, sorry, I could talk about like Rooster Teeth and Machinima like forever, so,
but we're not going to today. That's a different conversation.
That's not this podcast.
that can be a Fifth Draw Wild somewhere down the road. So that's the pitch. Animated internet cartoon of a kid's adventure. Now, what I'm picturing, did any of y'all see the Godzilla cartoon that came out after the American Godzilla remake? Not the newest one.
Back in the early
2000s?
Yeah.
Yes.
So it was like a bunch of like action people, and they could call on Godzilla to come help them at a critical moment.
Okay, that but Frankenstein?
Kinda, yeah.
So we can do... So you said adventure series. So I immediately go to like, I don't know. Like, okay. So here's, I'm just going to throw something out. I don't know if anyone has anything. I don't know if this is any good or not. So the descendants of Victor Frankenstein go to his, and yes, summer's coming up. Something about Gravity Falls a lot. They just announced the Blu-ray. I'm very excited. They go to his castle for the summer. And it's them exploring the castle, and there's a bunch of weird shit, and it's a huge, huge, huge castle, and they can't, like, go everywhere in one day. Like, there's just, like, a bunch of stuff, and maybe it's, like, weird quasi, you know, that science magic. Like, so sometimes they will go to, like, a room, and it will open it up, and that room is a portal, and they have to go in that portal to this weird place and do stuff, and then, like, they come out. But also, their best friend Frankenstein is there.
I think that's better than mine, but go ahead.
I love this. I love that a lot. So I'm picturing like their dad is like the current Victor Frankenstein.
Yep.
Like descendant of, and he's off at science convention somewhere for the summer.
Yeah, he has a project that he has to work on or something.
He's at the lab just all the time. And
he's been working in the lab late that night.
I was this close.
Anyways,
I have an idea for the kids though.
Okay, go ahead.
So I like the idea of Victor Frankenstein's descendant being like the dad and the adult. What if the kids are the descendants of the people that were used to create the creature? So that's how the creature knows them and is friendly towards them.
Alan, real quick. I've never thought I would have to give you a biology lesson.
Okay. Stop right there.
The children would also be descendants of Victor Frankenstein if they are his children.
No. Are the children of the people that were used to build the creature.
They're not specifically Victor Frankenstein's kids. One of them should be.
Children with him in a castle?
Well, no. Like, the kid made friends in the village.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's one kid and then some satellite children. All right. Understand.
One of the kids was, you know, the heart. One of the kids was the brain. One of the that's where the creature got the organ.
I see what you're saying, and I like that idea. Because then I don't know how it would come, like, in a kid's show. I don't know how you would ever be like, oh, yeah, my heart, your heart, your blood comes from my heart. That's like the same. Or like, oh, my neck is from your family. I don't know how you would get that across, but I do really like the idea.
I was thinking the kid whose, you know, great ancestor donated the heart.
Either murdered or died.
Yeah. could have empathetic powers when around Frankenstein. The kid whose ancestor gave the brain could get really smart. Like, I don't know how supernaturally you're wanting to lean into this.
I would like to go pretty supernatural. I don't want it to be like when they're in proximity to Frankenstein, they get superpowers, because I think their superpower is Frankenstein.
Yeah, this should be more of a Captain Planet kind of deal.
Well, okay.
Where they're capable on their own, and then when they need him, like, Frankie comes in.
I don't know how you would keep Frankenstein away for most of the episode until you needed him.
He has to recharge?
They gotta plug him in.
I just like it being your friendly Uncle Frankenstein, or your friendly Uncle Creature.
Adam.
I'm gonna call him Frankenstein forever, so.
No, I don't want to call him Adam, because
that's his name.
Is it?
Yes.
That's why they named Adam from Buffy Adam after Frankenstein, because he's a Frankenstein.
Yeah. He is also the worst part of that season.
Yeah. Season 4 is my favorite season, so I always feel that I had this, like, gut reaction to defend it whenever it comes up, but objectively, Adam wasn't handled well.
At least I didn't say the other person I could have mentioned.
Mary Shelley's original novel never ascribes an actual name to the monster, although he says, "I ought to be thy Adam," in reference to the Bible. But that is not his name.
I feel like at some point it kind of trickled into someone's canon, because I have definitely heard it as, like, he is Adam. But it makes sense that would be, like, a later addition. Also, just to put it on the table, the subtitle is, like, The New Prometheus.
The Modern Prometheus.
Prometheus. So, like, that's just, like, a thing that we can have so we know what we're doing. I love the idea that Frankenstein needs to recharge, because he comes from lightning, and so it's much easier to get him to recharge, but, DC current is much slower than a bolt of lightning. So, like,
yeah.
He has, like, and maybe that's why, like, the first episode is them, like, stumbling onto the lab, like, the secret lab, and there's, like, Frankenstein there, but he's turned off because he hasn't gotten any electricity in a while.
There's like a plug on the ground, and one of the kids plugs it in just to see what happens.
Yeah. And they're hooked up to the bolts.
Can they feed him batteries in a pinch?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Because that's adorable.
Okay. So here's the thing. Like,
One of the kids has a fanny pack with batteries in it. I love it.
The kid, the first kid, like the Red Ranger kind of kid, is the Frankenstein kid. Like yes. The son of the last descendant. This kid is going to be the smart sciencey one. So he's definitely going to have rigged up like a portable backpack for Frankenstein that will have like just some leads that come out and go around the bolts.
Yeah.
And so he can just like go and just like plug a battery in and ta-da, now you can go on adventures with us.
That's good, especially if they're like 10-minute episodes, because then you can be like, you got that like ticking clock of like, you know, well, I mean, when the battery runs out, he's still got some time because he is charged, but like,
yeah,
you know, you don't know how long it's going to last exactly. Or like sometimes it's like we don't want to like call for Frankenstein's help because we don't know. We got to wait till like the last possible moment because we need him to be at, you know, tip-top shape.
Yeah.
Or even having to trick things to go to the creature, because like you're saying that the castle is huge.
Yeah, like cartoonishly big.
Right. But if you unplug him and he has to get from point A to point B, you know, the creature is notoriously slow. So I propose that we come up with a system of transportation. Like, how does the creature get around the castle quickly?
Well, I have a theory for that. I have two, actually.
Okay.
Number one is that he's not actually slow because he's made of, like, his legs are athlete's legs or, like, yeah, something like that. You know, like, because obviously if you're going to put together a person, you're going to use the best parts, right? So I think like,
he's had, like, a century to acclimate, finally.
Yeah, like, he's finally used to all his muscles and whatnot. The other thing is, either A, secret passages. It's a big castle. Yeah. It's a big old spooky castle. Gotta have. And Frankenstein's been there forever. He knows all the cool secret passages, so he can just get anywhere. Also, Frankenstein is sort of like proto Jason Voorhees, so maybe we can just use some like monster movie rules where like Frankenstein can just like be behind you sometimes if he needs to be. Like,
yeah,
he's still a good guy, but he can play by monster rules.
Because he is technically a monster.
Because he's a monster, yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, I just had a really interesting thought for how to characterize the Frankenstein.
Okay, that's what I was going to get to. Could we still have him be intelligent?
Because I feel
like dumb Frankenstein or dumb creature has been played out a lot. And I think going back to the spirit of the novel with Frankenstein being intelligent, I think that would be more interesting.
I agree.
Yeah. So here's how I want to characterize him. Like, still intelligent, still like the best parts and all that. He acts like the butler. So yes, he has the butler superpower of just being in the room when you need him to.
Yes, Frankenstein. Yes.
He brings them snacks.
I don't know if we're going to go that far. I don't know if he needs to be a butler.
Yeah, it was just like he acts as that like occasionally. Like sometimes they'll be like, "Oh no, there's someone from the town coming up here. We need to have an adult." Frankenstein.
Yeah, quick, get some makeup. Make his skin not green. The fucking tax collector's coming. We gotta have dads down at the science convention in Transylvania. Oh. Where the fuck is the castle? Germany?
I think it is Germany.
Yeah. So there needs to be a recurring comedic bureaucrat villain from the nearby town.
The Burgermeister Meisterburger.
Who is trying to get the kids. Get those darn kids.
Yes. He knows something's going on up in that Frankenstein castle. He is not having it.
There's always something going on in the Frankenstein castle.
There's a light over at the Frankenstein place.
Are we just going to run through a bunch of references?
Of course. Of other things?
Cool. That's how comedy works, is you just mention other things and then everyone laughs at it, right?
And cutaways. Yeah.
Was in Germany. Ingolstadt, Germany.
Oh, no reason to move it.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just Googling Frankenstein so I can have, if I need anything.
So we have our Frankenstein. We have our dad, who's probably like the joke cutaway if we need one, where something explodes in his lab kind of deal. We have our kind of villain person, but let's talk about these kids. I want to know about these kids.
Okay, how many kids? I'm thinking four.
Four.
I want to give like a Scooby-Doo feel, kind of.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated?
The best new one, but set in the 70s?
No, it's not the new one. It's the last new one.
Okay.
It's all on Netflix. It fucking rules. It's the best Scooby-Doo. The new one is called Be Cool Scooby-Doo, and everyone looks like, speaking of, you know, mid-2000s Flash animation, everyone looks like that, and it's bad. But this one is, like, super good-looking. It's super fun. There's actually spooky stuff going on, but, like, you're not sure how spooky it actually is, or if it's just, because it's like this big overarching mystery, go figure. Like, right. I haven't watched season two yet, but I watched season one, and like, it has this really good feel, and I think the Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, like, feel, I think is like a good sweet spot.
Did you hear that Scooby-Doo had a Supernatural crossover?
Yeah, they went to Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, Scooby-Natural, they got pulled into a TV.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't given a shit about Supernatural in, I think, 4 years now, so, like, but that's pretty cool. I don't want to watch it because I don't want it to be Jensen Ackles hitting on Daphne the whole time, which is guaranteed 100% what it is.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That kind of, well, for lack of a better, like, kind of almost Gravity Falls type feeling.
I don't think it should be as jokey, if that makes sense, because Gravity Falls has a lot of jokes. I don't necessarily mean darker. I wish you guys have seen Mystery Incorporated because it's that sweet spot. It's because it's funny, but it's not like, because Gravity Falls like is Twin Peaks and The Simpsons, and there's like a lot of The Simpsons that like put a joke in every frame, like put jokes everywhere, and that really works for Gravity Falls. But I don't want to go like that far into jokes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, there are definitely going to be some jokes, but it's not going to be funny, just like...
But it won't be, like, you know, there's not going to be, like, a cutaway to, like, math, the candy bar, you know? Which is maybe my favorite joke in the entire series, but still. It's a bad candy, Alan. It's called math.
When was that?
In the Halloween episode?
The summer Halloween episode.
There's also a Mr. Adequate bar in that same shot.
Yep. I do remember the Mr. Adequate bar. I think my favorite cutaway joke is, do you like me? Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yes, definitely, absolutely. Yes,
definitely, absolutely, yeah. Okay, like, so let's talk about turtles. Let's talk about these four kids.
Okay.
Can you see what's happening? Sorry.
Can the Frankenstein kid just be a, honestly, just very smart and also cool person? Like, I want them to be smart and cool and not, like, have to be shoehorned into one of those two roles.
I like that because I want there to be more. I like there being science is cool characters, you know, like you can be cool and still like science and math and, you know, all that nerdy shit, but you can still be cool.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want him to be like, I don't know, like a cool guy, you know what I mean? But just like a kid who just is smart.
I kind of want him, this person, if it turns out to be a boy or a girl, to be like the big brother of all of them.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's probably one who's definitely, like, the tough sports kid, because, I mean, tropes are tropes for a reason.
Yeah, they work for a reason, yeah. If you're doing a four-man band, here's the thing with that. If he's a tough sports kid, you do have Frankenstein be, like, your, as your tough guy. Like, do you want to double up like that?
No, probably not.
Well... I disagree.
I think there's something there. I just don't know what it is.
What I would like, or what I would think would be interesting, is that each of the four kids represent an aspect of Frankenstein. So one of the kids is smart, so is Frankenstein. One of the kids is tough, so is Frankenstein. Like, their powers combined equals Captain Planet, but in this case, it's an 8-foot-tall green monster.
Captain Planet is Frankenstein.
Yeah.
The best possible Captain Planet.
So I do think having, you know, a brain, a tough, a heart.
What else is Frankenstein made of?
Oh, no.
Murder.
Okay. You got your Donatello, but cool, because Donatello's the fucking worst. I think we can all agree that.
No, we can't.
I think every single one of us can agree that Donatello is the worst Ninja Turtle.
Moving on. Nope. Moving on.
Nope.
We're not as I look at my Donatello plush
from the 90s. What am I most prized possession?
Go listen to the latest Pokemon World 2 United, and you'll understand why this is a hot button topic right now.
Look, it's just like an empirical fact that Donnie's the worst. So there's I'm trying to think of, like, I'm not as familiar with the four humors alignment as I am with the, like, five-man band.
Let's pivot away then for a minute. Let's have the Frankenstein kid be the smart, cool one. And then we have a tough one, and we have the heart character. And then let's have one that is actually the big brother leader type.
Okay. Yeah. I think that works a lot better.
Separate those roles, yeah.
Because then you can have them be more... Have the smart, cool one be more like, hey, let's do this. Like, let's just jump in. Like, not like in the name of science, but like that, like, spirit without actually being that fucking dork that does that.
But
and then you can have the big brother type be like, well, hold on, you're about to jump into what might be a werewolf pit, we don't know. Like,
yeah,
I think that actually what you just said raises a very important question, Jake. Is this a world of Universal Monsters?
Absolutely it is. If you don't think Dracula's the season one bad guy, then we are on different planets right now, Matt.
That's fair. I was trying to figure out what the season one bad was going to be, and
it's Dracula.
I mean, all I really had was that somehow season two, like Bride of Frankenstein, it's just showed up and is part of the cast now with very little explanation.
Could also Frankenstein's best friend be the creature from the Black Lagoon?
No, nobody likes Gilman. They're real hot right now, but like actual Gilman is the worst one.
I like the creature from the Black Lagoon.
It's literally just you. He's the worst one. It's the worst Universal movie anyway.
I mean, look, DC had to jump through some hoops to make Swamp Thing cool, and that was by giving him the power of all of the earth.
Yeah, they made him plants and not fish. So I still need to see The Shape of Water real bad though.
Same.
I'm trying to I don't think Frankenstein needs a best friend because I think his new best friends are these four kids.
Yeah.
Because he's been lonely for 100 years or however long since the last time anyone was there. You know.
And now there's finally a Franken, like a Victor Frankenstein that's paying him any attention.
That's not a dick to him.
Yeah. Question. Does the Frankenstein kid's dad know about the creature? Because if the answer is no, then you also have the wacky hijinks of the kids trying to keep the existence of the creature a secret.
I think he does know, but the kids don't think he knows.
I think I kind of want to do, speak, you know, bringing it back to Gravity Falls a little bit, I kind of want to do like a early Grunkle Stan where like secretly he does know the weird stuff is going on, but like he pretends he doesn't, and the kids go out of their way to make sure he stays that way, even though he knows.
What this also does is it gives us a chance at some point to do the flashback episode where the dad and his band of friends pile around with Frankenstein.
That's the last time they saw Frankenstein.
And they did something that the new kids have to fix.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. It was just a good episode. Like, that's just a good episode. Oh, look, Dad, yeah, you fucked up. Stuff. Thanks for that.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. So back to these kids. So we have like an older sibling, protective type. I don't want to say like a worrier. I don't want them to be like a super worrier, but like as someone who is an overprotective older brother, like there is a certain way that you can be that is not like worried the whole time, but just like
concerned.
Yeah, it's a concern, but not like a, because if it ends up being like a girl, I don't want to be like the one who gets to do all the emotional labor, like,
yeah.
Because that would suck. That is played all the way out. So,
well, it's concerned but not neurotic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's part of me that wants to, so that it's not just the girl doing emotional labor, that we make it a guy. But at the same time, like, I'd almost prefer to have the big brother leader character be a girl because that would be very good.
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't really have to assign gender.
I mean, if we're gonna make a
reboot,
we need them to have some sort of identity. I see what you're saying. Like, we don't need it to be like on the binary, but we do definitely need to have a character there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
Also, can the tough kid, just pivoting away for 1 second, can the tough kid be into soccer because we're in Europe?
Yes.
Of course.
Oh, please, yes.
I'm sorry, I think you mean football?
I mean footy, and I think that should be a girl because if you've seen male soccer players versus female soccer players, there is a wide berth between them.
If you haven't, male soccer players will drop if you breathe too hard on them.
If you
and
brush
girls
them,
will go if they're missing a leg.
Yeah, it's it's so much better. Women's sports
ladies
are better
soccer
than
players
men's sports.
Are the best.
Yeah. So cool on that one. Then where were we? Let's just nail down what we have and then kind of see what roles we need to fill. So, or not roles, but like what character traits we need to, you know, we have like gaps in.
The brain. The tough is our soccer player. The heart. And then
we still need to talk more about the big brother type.
Yeah. Let's call him the leader type. The leader. Because I feel like that's
Or the older sibling.
Yeah. Because I feel like, I don't know if they would necessarily be entirely the leader.
Would we want there to be a sibling pair in the group of four? So, like, the person who acts like an older sibling is actually the older sibling of one of the other kids.
I thought about that, and that's an easy way. Like, if we do go with that, I'm not opposed to it. But is it maybe a little funnier if there is a sibling pair, but neither of them are the big sibling character?
Right. So if like the soccer player and the heart are siblings.
Ooh. What if the soccer player? Oh no, because we only want one child to be related to Frankenstein. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, I was about to say, because then you could do the tough and the smartest twins.
Well, I mean, there's no reason we don't have to stay with just one kid tied to Frankenstein. There can be two.
I always like introducing twins, and I know, you know, obviously Gravity Falls is
dead. Yeah, I was about to say, my only problem with that is that I feel like now we're on the verge of just straight up stealing, so it's a thin line.
Yeah, we'll have to be careful. I mean, do we want to have more than one kid be a Frankenstein?
I mean, I originally thought they were all just going to be Frankenstein kids.
That's kind of what I thought, it's too, been but... a long time. So, I mean, the family tree could have diverged however much, and they are all related. Could they all related. Just be cousins? Yeah, maybe they don't even know that they're all related.
I feel like they should know. If they're all showing up at the same castle, like, I feel like they should all know.
It's not their dad, then. It's their grandpa. Grandpa Frankenstein's still at the lab.
Okay, and they just all got shipped off to, like, go hang out with... No, Matt... We're back on stealing from Gravity Falls. I think it needs to be the dad.
It does need to be a dad. But I also like the idea of maybe it's not even a dad. Maybe it's an older cousin. And they're all there because, you know, they all want a trip, you know, kind of a mysterious thing of, hey.
I'm okay with it being an older cousin. I think that's actually a pretty good wrinkle because I have a cousin who's like 10 years older than me that like used to take me all sorts of places. So like I think that works. I don't want it to be a, oh, you want a trip to castle? I think if they're going to be Frankenstein kids, it's just like we're going back to the family castle for a while. Like,
so maybe like the first episode could be the older cousin approaching each of the kids and picking them up to take them to Frankenstein's castle.
I kind of want to just start when they're on the road up the big, like up the big scary driveway. You know, I don't think we need him to be like, oh yeah, I'm taking you to. Right. Yeah, we can do that in like a 2 second dialogue of just like, hey, like it's awesome that our parents let us come for the summer to, you know, help you clean out the old castle or whatever, you know, whatever this
insert
guy's there for.
Conceit here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I do want at least one kid to be from the village. I don't know if I accidentally got attached to the idea that it was one Frankenstein and then some kids from around there.
I mean, we touched on that, and I still like that one. Like, okay, let's blend these. So let's have two Frankenstein cousins and then the older cousin who's their guardian and then two kids from the village. That also gives you a good cultural balance.
Yeah. And also, like, the Frankensteins definitely can't just be white. Because, like, if we're going to Germany, it's going to be a little trickier to get some diversity in there. So, you know... We need to have that happen in America, I think.
Probably, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So which two then are... So the smart fun one is...
If you go with the smart and the tough, that's kind of the natural balance there, right?
Yeah. And then the heart can be from the town because that they are descendant from whoever's heart is inside Frankenstein, so they have like that connection to them. And then the like the older sibling type can also be from the town.
Yeah.
And I like the idea that the older sibling type has younger siblings, but they're so young they can't come hang out. It's just like transferring those skills impulses over to new friends.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
And then there's like the older cousin. So you have enough like familial relations that it like it can all track. I do like it being like an older cousin who's like maybe like in the will of their grandfather, it's like the oldest of my grandchildren has to go clean out the like has to go clean out the thing. And then so we can do a flashback to like grandpa being a kid and doing the, you know, fucking something up that the kids have to fix. But the older cousin maybe doesn't actually know then.
Yeah, I think the older cousin might not know about Frankenstein.
That doesn't mean we can't still have that, like, one of their dads didn't have adventures with Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, I super duper want that, yeah.
So I realize that it, well, Matt, you're Southern. You probably get this, too. And I don't know about the North, but
if it has to do with, like, internal, like, instinctive politeness, probably not.
No. It is about how close you are with your cousins.
It varies. I'm pretty close with some. I'm not, like, I understand it's, like, a much bigger thing down south, but, like, we're a little more spread out up there.
And what I'm asking,
I can't help you on this one. My dad's a Yankee and my mom's from the Mission Valley in Texas, and I don't really speak to any of my extended family at all.
But what I'm asking is, how well do these kids know each other before they get to the castle? Like, are they cousins that have hung out before, or like they live close to each other, so they like they see each other a lot? Or are these basically strangers that are meeting and are like, oh, I guess we're all related?
I mean, you know what I mean? I don't think they should be strangers, and I don't think they should be super close. Like, most of my cousins and I are like, you know, a couple times back when I lived there, like a couple times. We were within
driving
distance.
We saw you at Christmas, and we saw you at family reunion in the summer.
I mean, well, you know, a little more than that, you know, just like, oh, it's Graham's birthday, so we're all going to the clam shack. Like, that's a thing that we do. That's a real place. It's a clam shack. It's great. And so we just, you know, like, we'll get together frequently, but not. It's not like, you know, I don't see them every day, or even, you know, there can be like a couple months at a time. But okay, we're all still like close. We're just not, you know, parallel to each other, so we can't like see each other every day.
Okay.
Yeah, y'all get along, but y'all aren't like dependent on each other.
Yeah, and also like you're gonna want them to be close enough that they don't hate each other, and you don't have to like feel, it's not like that weird like, oh, I gotta spend all summer with this, you know, I gotta feel that out. And also you don't want them to be like so close that they know each other so well that there's no surprises in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, I think, since we have the sibling pair in there, I think that could take the...
Well, cousin pair.
They're all cousins.
No, I think we went back to the...
Yeah, we split. Yeah,
you must have spaced out for a while.
We talked about splitting them, so the smart kid and the sporty kid are Frankenstein cousins, and the leader and the heart are from the town.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, we did. We split the diff on that. And then there's also the older cousin related to the two cousins, but a third cousin, not like one of them's older sibling.
So these two from the town are just brought in by the two other kids, just, hey, come on?
I feel like the first episode is them like being bored for a couple of minutes in this big castle, and then like him be like, hey, we're gonna go to town, so like come on. And they just like make friends in town, like, hey, can we invite these people over? Because we have friends here, like, you know, instead of just the two of us all summer.
What if because this castle is as big as the plot needs it to be, what if part of it extends under the town? And oh, so...
Yeah, hell yeah.
They meet these other two kids because the kids are like, oh, y'all from the castle? And, like, a storm rolls in, so they can't get back up the mountain. They're like, oh, we can get you back.
I feel like the older... That's the only problem with having the older cousin is that, like, they would have to be responsible for things. So you couldn't just be like, oh, like, they got separated and I'm at the castle and they're not. Unless like they went to town by themselves, but I don't know what the, I don't know if we would do that. I feel like that would be fine. But what I like is them being like, you guys are from the Frankenstein castle. hey, can we come to the Frankenstein Castle? No one's ever been there, and it fucking rules. It looks like it rules. Yeah. Can we go to the Frankenstein Castle, please?
And they're just like, oh, of course you can, best friends.
Yeah, heck yeah, yeah, new friends. Let's go.
They don't. Yeah, I like that.
Because if there was a castle in my town, I mean, there kind of was a castle in Ringe, New Hampshire, but it was like basically a mansion that was made to look like a castle by a rich old weird dude. But if there was like a big looming castle that no one had ever been into, and there was like two kids my age were like, hey, we're from, you know, we're staying at the castle this summer, I would be like, hey, what is up, my new friends? Take me to this castle, please.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Me too. What else do we need to go over?
I think we need to line out a plot for the first season.
Yeah, are we good with characters? Are we satisfied with where we left them? Because we didn't describe the heart or the sibling, I think, at all.
We need to talk about those two then.
I want the heart to be not like younger, but like a little bit younger, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want them to be like the kid brother role. You know what I mean? Like, I want them to just be like a little bit younger, a little bit smaller, but not that like that's a thing.
I kind of want them to be curious.
Well, yeah. I think they all have to have some level of curiosity or else the story won't work. But I also don't want how would that be different from the like smart kid who is like, let me just try this.
Kind of what I was thinking is like, let's say the smart kid goes, oh my God, let me try this, you know, let me do this thing, and it goes wrong. And another one of the kids is like, oh my God, you're so stupid. Then the heart can step up and be like, hey, no, he was just curious. It's okay. Like, you know, everybody's a little bit curious. Have you ever been curious about something? And it can be, I mean, especially since this is aimed at kids, it can be a conversation about what is curiosity and how can you handle it in a responsible way?
I feel like we're tiptoeing into edutainment on that one. Like, that seems like it's skewing a little younger.
What age range are we shooting for?
Tweens.
Tweens. Yeah, that's okay. What I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, we don't need to talk down to him to be like, he was just being curious. I feel like that's a little, you know, preachy, like, you know, and I don't know. I'm just not a super fan of it being I don't want it to be like the point, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of on the same page. Like if there are some like lessons that sneak in there, great, but that's not.
Yeah. I mean, I think again, like Gravity Falls is a pretty good like barometer for this in that like it's there, but it's, you know, it is learned and earned. It's not like told. Like, mm-hmm. No lessons.
We're not looking for the magic school bus here.
Yeah, it's not Sesame Street or the magic school bus. It's like, oh, the plot is this, and we did learn a thing along the way, but, like, no one just stood and looked at the camera and said it.
Yeah, I like that. So what about the leader, older sibling type?
I kind of want them to be non-binary.
I was thinking the same thing.
Because feel like...
Or androgynous,
I feel like you never get, like... Number one, you basically never get non-binary characters, period. But you especially don't get ones that get to have personalities that aren't directly related to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, like, a problem everyone seems to have is, like, giving anyone queer, like, a... Like, anyone, in, you know, under the queer umbrella that, like... a story that doesn't have to be directly tied to that. And so I think having them be like, I'm overprotective because like, that's how I am is like a cool thing that is separate from just the fact that they're non-binary.
Mm-hmm.
I like
plus
that.
Like, you know, if we are making a show in 2018, like we have no excuses not to like, you know, round out the diversity, like, I don't want to say checklist, but like there's a lot you can do nowadays that should be done that just not a lot of people are.
Well, I was almost thinking, what if like the heart had autism or was on the spectrum?
I could like that. I mean, here's my problem. Number one, I don't know enough about it to talk about it at any length. And number two, as long as we keep it consistent, because I got some shit for not liking Billy in the Power Rangers movie, and everyone thought it's because I didn't like that he was autistic. I didn't like that they sold him out.
Yeah,
is my problem with it. So as long as we keep it consistent, and obviously we would, you know, we can't on this podcast, we can't really get into it because I don't think any of us are
we would need qualified to research it.
But like, you know, we would need someone, you know, we would need to talk to somebody with autism to like, you know, consult on this, because like I'm just super not prepared. But I do really like that idea, especially
the older cousin.
I feel like it would be best if it's one of the kids, because if it's aimed at kids, you want it to be someone like more like
relatable.
Yeah.
But like my only issue, if we want to make the heart on the spectrum, is we absolutely cannot be Big Bang Theory about it.
No, absolutely not.
No, like, I mean, and again, like we're talking about the spectrum. There's a lot.
Yeah,
you know,
there's a lot.
And I do like the idea, because I don't know if I've seen anything that hasn't like any autistic kids in it that like they get to be the emotional center, because I think that's like not like the emotional center, but like kind of the it's hard to explain the heart's role if you don't say like emotional center, but it, like the one that like, I don't know, moral compass, but like not in like a good or bad way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I feel like I'm trying to get to something that I just can't reach.
They help point the group in a direction.
Yeah, it's like the center of the team. Like, you know, like it centers them out. And I don't think like kids with autism get to like see that they can do that. Like nothing that I have seen that like has anyone with autism in it, like I just don't think I've ever seen that before. So I would really like it if we put like the, you know, the heart. Because then, like, they could bond with Frankenstein, and, like, mm-hmm. I think you can get a lot out of it that way.
I agree.
So, out of the relationship. So, I think that would be really good.
I like that a lot. Okay.
So I think we're good then.
Yeah, let's talk about the season one plot real fast. Just kind of an overarching, real quick, like, we want Dracula to be the villain.
But yeah, well, I think Dracula should be the villain. Okay, well, let's put a number of episodes on it so I know how to space out the acts in my head. 'Cause 12? That's how I work.
Oh, if they're this short, I need a bit more than that. Let's say 24. 24 works.
So we're looking at kind of like a Cartoon Network sort of...
Steven Universe type.
Steven Universe sort of setup, but just like internet. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Which I like. I wish there was money in web content. Because I think it's the fact that everyone has it is really helpful. I hate the studio system and they've ruined everything. So 20 episodes. So we're looking at, if we split it into three acts, we're looking at 7, 9, and 7. No,
no,
nope. 7.
It would be 6.
So, okay. So 6, 8, and 6.
Yes.
Is your first, second?
No, that's third. A 20 episode, but we can drop down to 20.
I thought you said 20. Did you say something else?
I had said 24, but 20 works.
20 works, I think.
Okay, I think
because that gives you 6, 8, 6. It's really nice and balanced.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the only way it could get better if it was, 21. But I think having a longer second act actually like benefits
helps
a lot
this,
more, because then you can stay in the shit longer. So. 20 episodes. So the first 6 episodes, because again they're 10, they're like 11 minutes long. So
yeah. Now, it's got to be pretty serialized.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing about kids TV right now, is that a lot of it is pushing towards being more serialized instead of like episodic, because it's real easy to like look down on your audience if every episode can be just, you know, a standalone episode. But like, if you trust them to have to like have paid attention, like I feel like that is more rewarding for everybody.
Yeah.
So Here's the other good thing is that if you look at Steven Universe, Alan, I know you watch it. Matt, do you watch Steven Universe?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, it's fine. I mean, it's, you know, it's your dumb choice, but it's fine.
You could be wrong.
I'll just have to live with being bad and wrong, but that's fine.
Here's the thing is it's a really good show. It's really, really good. The first, I want to say 6 or 7 episodes, absolute dog shit.
Yeah,
Steven's the worst. He is impossible to like. But about 6 or 7 episodes in, they go, sorry. We had to get the growing pains out. Here's a good show for the rest of it.
Okay. And Steven becomes the best boy so very quickly.
So good. Like, he is so frustrating in those first couple episodes, but then, like, he just is fine. We can't spend 6 episodes with one kid being frustrating because I feel like that would be bad. But also, it's not based on any one kid. It's based on the group more than anything. So, but they're 11 minutes long, and they pack a lot of stuff into it because they have an A plot and a B plot, and then there's like a C plot that is like literally just looming over the show the whole time that they're finally like getting into like the deepness of. So I'm trying to think of how to. I don't think we should know about Dracula until the midway point, like episode 10. You know, we should learn about Dracula, and then maybe not until like episode. I don't know.
15 like, or 16?
Like 15 or 16. Like that's when you should be like, oh, Dracula's the bad guy. That's the problem this season.
Oh. Dracula's trying to buy the castle to get all this like supernatural power stuff.
I like it.
Okay.
I like it a lot.
Maybe it's on like a nexus of supernatural energy?
Sure.
It's I don't know if I want it to be like a, like there's mystical energy here, but just like,
well, the reason I say that is because I like the idea that that also played into why.
Okay.
He was able to bring Frankenstein to life is not just the lightning, but also the location.
Yeah. And I think that the original, like Dr. Frankenstein knew that. And that's why he built this castle here. Like this castle's not here on accident, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So to kind of explain why it's like so big and so plot dependently big, it's been growing ever since he built it. Like it's just started growing on its own.
Kind of like the Winchester house. I like that.
Yeah. So, okay. So I think there needs to be, we'll have to talk about the castle in a minute, you know, just in order to like nail it down. But I like the idea that it keeps expanding and no one really notices. But yeah. And I don't necessarily want it to be like a, oh, it's bigger on the inside, like a non-Euclidean sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But I do like the, because like that's Tanis. but I like the idea that like sometimes there's just like, wait, when did this parapet get here? Like, did we just not notice it? Was it hiding behind another one the whole time? Okay, let's go check this out. And then like, oh, there's weird stuff in here too. Oh, shit. What's going on?
If it's built on a mountain like it kind of traditionally is portrayed as,
I absolutely see it like looming over the city. Like,
and could there be
the,
like
the
an
village.
Ocean behind it?
Sure, why not? I don't know what Ingolstadt is actually like. But
I mean, we might need to look at a map for that, but maybe at the very least we can put a lake there.
A lake,
exactly.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You see the waves and stuff behind, because I think that just makes for a pretty vista, and B that also if we wanted to include like sea monsters or things that might live in the lake.
Yeah. Like, oh, there's a Loch Ness monster in that lake. That's
big lake monster.
Yeah. But if it's built on top of a castle or on top of a mountain, there's no reason why it can't have gone down and out.
Oh yeah.
And like the sewer system in this town is part of the castle.
Yep.
Like it is.
It's a labyrinth that is also a sewer.
Yeah.
Okay. So
for sure.
What's Dracula's deal?
I like that Dracula wants to buy it. I think maybe he knows about the mystical energy, but like I kind of want to give him a pettier reason. Like maybe he just hates Frankenstein and wants to buy his house from him.
But why does he hate Frankenstein?
Because the bride was going to be one of his brides, and Frankenstein took her. Rescued her?
Because she was built.
Yeah, because she was, yeah. Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe, okay, all right. So you die, you get shocked with lightning, you come back to life. That's how Frankenstein technology works, right? I'm sure there's like you pour some chemicals in them, you dip them in something, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a
salt over the shoulder, full moon. Yeah.
There's a process, right? There's got to be a storm on a full moon, and like, you know, conditions have to be right, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe So then, counter, you know, on Dracula's side, he bites you, you die. That night, you come back to life. Maybe he bit this woman, she died. Dr. Frankenstein was like, oh, sweet, a fresh dead body. I don't have to do anything to this one. Let me see if I can recreate the experiment because the conditions are right. He does. So now she's not a Dracula. She's a Frankenstein.
Ooh. This also could potentially give her more powers.
Absolutely more powers. Also, I feel like this is like kind of tiptoeing into like gross, like women are property kind of deal. But like absolutely Bride of Frankenstein is like her own woman. She like likes Frankenstein 100%. Because he's nice to her.
I like that too. Like he's sweet on her. Like he does, like, oh, he's just really nice.
Yeah,
guys, my dudes, the Bride of Frankenstein is off exploring the world because she's not figured out what her role is yet, like he has.
Aww. She's just been spending 100 years just like seeing what's up out there,
so she only pops in occasionally.
Oh, you know what, okay, all right, I might be about to throw a wrench in the gears, but I don't think I will. Maybe. And this would kind of dampen the castle is growing. I feel like it should be growing, but not very fast. Yeah. Like, it's not like, you know, every day there's a new room, but like there's like a lot of shit here. And like sometimes there's more stuff, but like not that. That would be its whole own episode. Is like there's a new room. Where did,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, where did this tower come from?
And that's in addition to them, like, you know, the Gravity Falls thing of like, hey, we actually wallpapered over this door. Like there's a room here. Like that's a separate deal.
Yeah.
Maybe. The reason there's so much stuff that's not in the Frankenstein lore is that over the last 200 years, the Bride of Frankenstein, I'm just going to call her Bride from now on, Bride has just been going out and finding stuff and bringing it back here for safekeeping. And and Dracula wants it because he knows all the cool shit is in here that he can use to take over the world.
I
Dracula's
love that.
The worst.
So she's like Carmen Sandiego. That's like
the best. Yes, yes, yes.
They're running like a supernatural preserve here.
Yeah, but like not necessarily like a, like, you know, a museum or menagerie. Just like, okay, there's all right, you guys know Imhotep, the mummy? Yeah, some of his scarabs, his like magic golden scarabs were doing some weird stuff. So I went and I got them and I brought them back here because the mystical energy of the castle kind of keeps things like contained. Not necessarily chill, but like contained. And then, you know, now some things are starting to go wrong because like, plot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like
that
a lot.
So they go into a room and like, oh, there's just a straight up mummy in here. Uh-oh. Like, or they go to, you know, a room and there's like werewolves or, you know, like whatever. There's just like a lot of stuff, but like anything we can get our hands on that is in here that shouldn't be in Frankenstein's castle is because Bride went out, had her own story, like had her whole own adventure and then trucked it back.
I like that a lot.
And what could be interesting, because one of the things Steven Universe does is they do like 5-minute shorts. You could do 5-minute shorts starring the Bride.
Oh yeah, you absolutely could do like a
spinoff
like thing of just like, hey, this is her in, you know, 1879, going to Rhode Island to get some weird Lovecraft shit, and then like, and then bringing it back and putting it away in a room that was otherwise empty.
I like that a lot.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
This has turned into a very good thing that I'm very excited about.
And then like
so,
the reason she's not there in season one is because like she's got like a lot of shit going on. Like she's doing a lot of things and like, oh, you know, she just happens to truck it back sometime mid season two.
I think she should pop up once or twice in season one, but not be regular.
Yeah. I think that
we need
that
to be introduced to her.
That actually would be a really good episode. Is like she pulls up and is like, oh, there's people here. Oh,
yeah.
No. And they're like, hey, you're a little green. Do you know Frankenstein? And she's like, yes, I do. And he's like, and they're like,
why are there children? What did he do?
What are you all doing here? It's like, oh, my grandpa was, et cetera, et cetera. And then she's like, okay, cool. And then they have to like convince the cousin that she is supposed to be there. Like, that, like, oh, she's a. From the Boston Museum, and she has to go look at a thing. We got a phone call we should have told you about. Like,
our bad.
Yeah,
I like that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Okay,
but I also like that she's Carmen Sandiego and she steals sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If they have a, if someone's got a an object that is gonna do bad if it's out in the world, like,
she gonna steal it.
She's gonna take it. She's the Bride of Frankenstein. She's the best.
So what else do we need to do for this?
A while ago when we did Vice.
Yes.
Is it pronounced Vice or is it pronounced Weiss? No, yeah, we pronounced it Vice, but it's Vice. Spelled Weiss in the original. Weiss. Yes,
yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
We just kind of went around and pitched a couple ideas of episodes to each other. True. So we got 20 episodes, 10 minutes. They need to be like pretty contained. It can't be anything like super big. So who wants to start off?
Do you have one, Jake?
I don't have one. Let me see if I can pull anything out of my ass real
I've
quick.
I've got one, I think.
Okay, you go okay. then.
Go, yes.
A Borrowers episode.
100% sold. I'm on board.
Love it. Tell me a little bit more about it. Ooh, tell me about the room in the castle that it kind of keys off of.
It's a city. So the kids walk in and it's like a village, but it's a model village. And they're like, oh my God, the details are so good. And then there are actual people in it. And they're like, oh my God.
I like that because number one, I love a borrower. And number two, now there's borrowers in the house, so you can just have them pop up sometimes to help out when needed. And like in the big climactic battle against Frankenstein, they can trip him or something.
Dracula.
Or against Dracula. I meant to say Dracula.
Okay. I dig that a whole lot.
And of course, at some point, they become small and hang out with the borrowers and have to get big again somehow. When Frankenstein has to make them big again or something.
Yeah. There's some sort of shrink ray somewhere that Frankenstein's got to do. Yeah.
Oh, not this again.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Frankenstein has like a British accent, right? Like, I know that we're in Germany, but like we need to give him like a proper British accent. And also, I was thinking, I didn't mention this earlier, but I like the idea, because if he's going to be like smart, I like the idea that he has to like rev back up. So like he doesn't talk a lot at the start. And then he'll have like very specific knowledges for a little while.
His computer has to boot
until he boots back up. But I also want him to be like kind of philosophical, and like, so like when they're walking down a spooky corridor, like he'll just be like talking about like the nature of things or whatever, and they're just like, you're real smart, Frankenstein.
Or like this painting that he really really likes, and he goes into the history of it.
Okay, so painting, I'll take that one. Dorian Gray's painting is in here, and Dorian Gray comes a calling. And they need to find it before he can. Because that's how Dorian Gray's painting works, is you need to do something with it.
Oh, I like that a lot. Okay. So what room is that in?
It's going to be in a... I want to say there's not an art gallery, not like a straight up huge gallery, but there's like a study that just happens to have a lot of portraits, and like one of them has a sheet over it and no one knows why.
Dig it.
And like we'll see it like six episodes earlier, and then you know they'll be like, okay, if there's a hidden, let's start with the one that we can't reach that has a sheet on it.
Okay. Then the one I'm gonna do is going to be so as the castle has grown, sometimes it seems to have like duplicated rooms, like definitely not actually, but it seems that way. So the kids find a second big dining hall, except this one is all of the like the castle kind of freaked out and tapped into like some fairy tale knowledge. So this one, all of like the candelabras and plates and forks are all the Beauty and the Beast servants of the castle.
Nice.
Yeah.
So they're all like animated and everything.
We definitely have to like Disney them up. No matter what the art style is, like this room has to be like hella Disney.
Yeah, a little bit.
I have one more.
I have one more too.
Okay, let's do another round then.
Let's do another round. Okay, so my other one is in one room in the lab, or I guess one room off of the lab, there is a like, please don't come in here vault. It's not like a vault. It's just like there's a door that's shut and it's got a big lock on it. And at some point, there's little mouse holes. So rats have gotten in and a bunch of rats drank some invisible man potion. So there's invisible rats running around. I need to, like, it's not like a big high stakes thing, but there's invisible rats and you don't want that. So they need to figure out a way to find all these invisible rats.
Do they get handed over to the borrowers to use as like guardians?
And ride maybe? Into battle?
I think definitely at the end they would come back. I think maybe they would figure out a way to like they would find another room that is like a bunch of hamster wheel, like those like mouse, you know, tubes and stuff. It's just like a bunch of that. So you just get them in there. So when you go in, you don't actually see them, but you just like hear like,
weak, 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 weak. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all that stuff.
That's very good. Alan, what's your second one?
An oldie but a goodie. Ghost in the Library.
Love it.
Yep. So
someone explain this to me.
So they stumble across a library that is haunted. So like books will fall or drop or be thrown or things like that. And it's just like, but what it turns out, or at least what I'd like it to turn out, is that it's just this old British librarian who is just really, really mad because their books keep getting messed up out of their system. And so they have to put them back.
Okay. I love it. The librarian has to be a character moving forward. Not like every episode, but like, you know, every time they go to the library.
Introduced early.
Yeah.
Well, the librarian becomes their researcher.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because they know where all the books, because it's like a huge, big study. The other thing is, I think the plot of that episode is that the librarian ghost is going to absolutely fuck everything up and tell, like, the cousin and just, like, super haunt this place unless the kids go find the missing six books should be in the library someone took out 100 years ago and never returned.
Love it.
Okay.
Like, maybe they even need to go into town for that. Like, they need to, like, hunt down these books that were, like, lent out to people in the town a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. And, like, a couple of them have made their way into the town library now, so you have to have a caper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we gotta break in.
Maybe
that can be a series of episodes. Like, you know, like, you gotta find three to suit me. And all right, we promise we'll find the other five. Like, I promise we will.
Yeah, I like that a lot. They just keep, like, they keep stumbling onto them. And then they have, so, like, the caper one should be the first one. It's like, I know where three of them are.
Yeah.
And then they, like, stumble onto the rest.
Ooh, and that's how they get him to do research for them is... Like, they'll stumble across these books and then go back to him and be like, oh, man, there are some mer people and we need to know about them. Hey, library ghost, look what we found. Oh, my God. Yeah, could you research some mer people for us? Cool beans. Thanks.
Or even just, like, the books are plot relevant that they find.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Or even, like, I also like the idea that, like, maybe the library ghost, who should get a name at some point.
And I want them to be, like, friendly. I don't want them to be, like, mean.
They're just cranky because their books are missing. Like, they're not, like, mean. But also, they just love doing research. So you don't have to, like, trick them. You don't have to pull their leg. But just, like, once they're on the team, they're like, yes, I will absolutely research that. Hold on. Let me find the five books that I need real quick.
Mm-hmm. And then it's tell me everything you know about mer people.
Yeah.
Oh, give me a minute. Let me go set up the slide projector.
And I definitely, whether the ghost is male or female, I see them in a tweed jacket.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's a librarian. What else do they wear?
I mean, it is, if we could get Anthony Stewart Head, it's just Giles,
oh,
right?
Oh, by the way, we're going to get Tony Head to do the voice of the library ghost now.
Yes. Good. Because it's good. Good, good, good. Yeah. His name is Tony.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know if we need to have Tony Head also be named Tony. Maybe we could,
like,
do one or the other.
I just like the name Tony. I think Tony the ghost.
They might call him Tony, librarian. But his name is definitely Anthony.
Yes. Is that a German name? Is there a German version of Anthony?
Probably.
Because we are in Germany. We should probably remember that.
anyway, Matt, he could be Gregory, and they call him Greg. Gregory is a German name.
Okay, I'm aboard.
Yeah, sounds good. So, my second one, guys, there's aliens. There's a spaceship in the basement somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Maybe not. Okay, can I add an addendum? Maybe not the basement. Maybe one of the towers, the top of it is a spaceship.
Yes.
I like that.
Is this like a Flash Gordon spaceship? Like, it's just the pointy rocket thing?
Yeah. Like,
it got bricked around.
The parapet is the nose of the rocket.
Yeah,
and it
they
just
like
got built around.
Yeah, they just put some bricks around the outside, and they're like,
"We
need to design
a flag on it."
Yeah, there's a flag on it. They're like, "We need to design the rest of the parapets to look like this one now, so they match."
Yes, So there's definitely there's an alien spaceship, and one day the aliens come looking for it.
Oh, of okay. course, yeah.
So then, okay, I feel like we're adding a lot of characters that are sort of disembodied, but I kind of like that idea. If we go with what I'm about to say, is there like an AI on the spaceship that just really likes it here and yeah. doesn't want to leave? Like, it does, yeah. like the aliens aren't necessarily malicious. Maybe they're going to be like jerks because they're aliens, but like. The spaceship just wants to stay here. It's been here for so Ooh. Long. It's gotten cozy. Like, it, you know.
What if in, like, then, yes
then ending Greg
that.
Greg and the spaceship can start dating. Anyway, keep going. Sorry.
Yes ending that. What if the castle has an AI that's built off of the spaceship?
Oh, no. The spaceship's just, like, that's infected what I'm the castle.
Exactly. Like, yeah. The Victor Frankenstein built technology based on the rocket. And that AI just kind of seeped into.
The only thing about that is how would we make that? How would we show that and make it work? And also, how would we just not have the AI everywhere in the house then? Because I want it to be like you have to go somewhere to talk to it.
It's not on yet. When the kids discover that the parapet is an alien spaceship, they turn it on.
Okay, what if instead of it just, like, having infected the whole castle, there's, like, an intercom system that is down that is based on that? So, like, yeah. if there's an intercom in the room, they can talk to the AI.
But not every room has an intercom.
But not, exactly, yeah.
I like it. Eventually, like, in season two or something, they'll be able to rig up, like, a two-way, one of those two-way radios.
Like a portable radio yeah. around someone's neck. Just
yeah. Yes.
That's very good. I like all of this. Okay,
I like the thing we've made.
Yes.
What else do we need to do for our Frankenstein? We need to rent. We need to name it.
Oh yes. Huh.
Frankenforce.
No. Nope.
Oh, that's bad in the most 90s way possible.
There was a show called like Mummies Alive.
Yes, yeah. I remember that.
About it superhero sure mummies. Yeah, a Frankenforce is definitely the like sister show to that, but I don't think that's the show that we just made. I'm trying to think because I don't just want to name it after the castle. What if we just called it
the Modern Prometheus?
I don't think that's like catchy enough for kids. You know what I mean? I don't think it has like a splash. What if we just called it like Frankenstein colon something? Frankenstein Adventures. That's too dumb. That's too easy. Because I think Frankenstein should be in the name because it's the you know, the main meat of it is the Frankenstein castle. Frankenstein is there. Three of the characters are Frankensteins. The name Frankenstein, not the creature Frankensteins.
I mean, Adventures in Castle Frankenstein? Is that too 90s Nickelodeon?
Yeah. All I can think of is like, there's a light on at the Frankenstein place. But
so,
what
okay,
is there?
So it's the Rocky Horror
Frankenstein show?
No, okay. What if we just called it the Frankenstein place?
I like that.
And we have to. They never say anything.
Can Tim Curry be Frankenstein? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to yell. I peaked my audio definitely for a second. But can Tim Curry be Frankenstein?
Fucking yes. But also, hidden in every episode are Riff Raff and Magenta just in the background, just in the crowd.
I don't know if we need specifically those two, but there should be a tiny, tiny Rocky Horror reference
in every episode.
Somewhere in every episode.
I like that. So yeah. The Frankenstein place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With Frankenstein,
hell yeah.
Voiced by Tim Curry.
I dig
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Because you know what Tim Curry doesn't get to do enough? Be a nice dude.
That's true. He's always a villain.
He's always someone creepy. What if he's just like a nice big Frankenstein?
Wasn't he Nigel Thornberry?
Was he? I don't think so. I am definitely Googling it now, though. He played Trader Slick on the Jumanji show. Was it Tim Curry?
Yep, Nigel Thornberry has played by Tim Curry.
So he's been one nice person, but he was an idiot. So, that you know, trading in one shoe for the other. Yeah, no, he was great, but he's still an idiot.
He is dumb.
Yep, Tim Curry, there he is. Crazy. I think we did a good one.
I think so, too.
I think we did a very good one. So if anyone has a bunch of money, because like we know animators, we can work that out. We just need the money first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Send yes, that our way.
Yes, please. We'll make that is a very
kind
good
of
series.
A crazy statement. We know animators.
I mean, like, it's guys, a loaded. It's a loaded statement, but yeah, not so just it is, animators. It is technically true.
Emmy award winning animators.
I do know. We do know two Emmy award winning people who work in animation. Neither of them are technically animators, but one of them does storyboards, the other does character design. So, like, it's it, again, it's a little bit loaded, but we can make it work. Just give us that money, is what I'm saying.
Please.
I just want to have Tim Curry talk about paintings.
I just think it's so cool.
And then also punch a werewolf to the moon.
Please and thank you.
Yes. All right. Well, I guess all that's left then is to figure out what we're doing next month for Jake's episode.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Going to the Google Doc. Doo. All right. I've got the random number.
All right.
So who's next?
Jake.
It's me.
Jake, you will be doing Sinbad.
Ooh.
Ooh, pirates. Okay.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Oh, my gosh, yes, pirates. Guys, my guys, Sea of Thieves is the best game ever made in non-Breath of the Wild category.
I heard there's not a ton to do.
Yeah,
but
I kind of heard it was
once
Garbo.
Once they put a... I heard it was... I've seen it. It looks very good, but I just heard that, like, there's only so much to do. So once it gets, like, a little expanded, I'm very excited. I don't have a console to play it on, so it'll never happen. Anyway, Sinbad. So let's do for what do I pick? The medium or the genre?
Genre is what we've been doing.
Yes,
we're doing genre. Okay, good because I don't know a medium. Let's do. I just want to do a pirate story.
Okay, swashbuckling.
That's too easy. That's way too easy. So let's do. Is steampunk a genre?
Yep.
It's, yeah.
All right, let's do steampunk.
Okay.
There's going to be, okay, anyone who's super into steampunk coming to the next episode, like, excited to hear us talk about, like, we're going to fuck the steampunk up, but that's where we're starting, is steampunk for the genre.
I like it. All right, so next month is going to be Steampunk Sinbad. That'll be great fun.
Yeah.
I guess then until next time, we still don't have an exit strategy for this.
You just been rebooted.
No, stop doing that. It's never going to happen, Alan.
Hey, thanks for listening to Hard Reboot. You can find us on Twitter at Rebootcast or email us at hardreboot@fifthdraw.com. Alan's on Twitter at Alan_Sells. Matt is at Matt Hoadley, and I am at JJ_Mason. Thanks for listening.
Hard Reboot is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.